What's up, y'all? It's your girl, XP.
And it's your girl, Dre Nicole.
And we have a very special announcement. Your girls will be at the Black Effect Network Podcast Festival.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to be there April 27th. And make sure y'all get y'all tickets at blackeffect.com.
Yes, Horrible Decisions will be there, Carefully Reckless, Deeply Well, and many more. It's going to be so fun. So if you've never seen Poor Minds live, I'm telling you, you're not going to want to miss this. So go to blackeffect.com and get your tickets.
Period.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lex P.
And it's your girl, Dre Nicole.
And you are tuned in to another episode of Poor Minds.
Where drunk minds speak sober thoughts.
So, today, we have a very special episode that is brought to you by BET Plus. And we got a guest today. We have Diara from the brand new BET Plus show. Diara from Detroit! Yay. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Go ahead.
I'm just like, this is the first interview I've ever done where I'm going to be drunk. So I'm already like panicked a little bit.
Pull it up.
I like to stay in control. Well, I'm trying to...
Let me tell you something about Poor Minds. This is a place where you have a good time. Okay. You can relax. Okay. We got you. We are not a podcast where we're looking for a viral moment or to embarrass you. So even if you do say something crazy, we're going to edit that shit out anyway. Right. I sit on this motherfucker and embarrass myself every week.
That's true. This interview will be like 20 minutes.
See, you know. But, okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and just dive into it. So let me say this. First of all, I watched the first episode, and I'm not going to lie, I was just kind of like, okay, let me see what this is. Right. I didn't go in with any expectations because, like, I'm more of a movie girl. Mm. So it really takes me, I don't pay attention to
things.
What's
your favorite movie?
My favorite movie of all time is probably Law Abiding Citizen. It's up there with, like, I have a mix of movies. Like,
I don't even know that movie.
With Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler.
I missed that one.
Law Abiding Citizen is amazing. Amazing movie. Okay. It's up there with like Ray is one of my favorite movies.
Okay. Life is a good movie. Life is a great movie.
Life is a classic.
Life, I can't do life.
You can't?
It's too sad.
Why?
It is sad. If you really get into
the whole jail, the whole life in prison thing, it's hard for me.
And they finally got out and they was like 100.
And it was 100.
Or literally old as hell.
This isn't a happy ending.
Very, very sad. So when I was going into it, like I didn't have any expectations. I was like, okay, let me just see what they taught my one too. When I tell you, I got so invested.
It was good.
Oh my God. It was absolutely amazing. Like I cannot wait to finish the season.
Yes.
I'm excited because you know what? I'll say this. I feel like a lot of times in Hollywood, you know, Black cinema kind of gets caught in the, oh, we only do slavery movies and women getting pregnant and struggling and all these struggle stories. So it's fun to see like a Black woman in real life, you know, a teacher, she's dating, going through a divorce, trying to figure life out. But it's like a murder mystery.
It is.
So it's like a little different twist. It's fun.
Thank you. It's a fun role.
It was funny too.
And you fit the role perfectly because I believe it. I'll be believing everything you say.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's the writing or the action, but the girl is good.
It's helpful because I did write it and I was like writing for my favorite actor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yourself.
So I appreciate that.
Talk about your background a little bit. You know, you're from Detroit,
I'm from Detroit. I was always into like, I was always just a theater nerd. Grew up in the city and was always like that girl that was like into theater, into plays, into singing. So I went to NYU, studied theater.
Oh, so you for real, for real.
For real, for real. And then afterwards I got out and it was just a really hard time, I think, for Black actors when I graduated from college. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of poked around, did theater, did little like two lines on The Game and one line here and a few lines there. Mm-hmm. And then I started writing. Mm-hmm. And that really opened a lot of doors for me and really empowered me to start writing stuff for myself.
Okay.
So I did a digital series. I wrote for shows like The Last OG. I'm drunk. The Last OG.
You're doing amazing. I can't tell.
Blame it on Ty.
Thank you. Ty.
Blame it on Ty.
And then I have had different opportunities to develop shows. And this is the one that went. And I think it's like, it's the perfect, like, bringing together of all the things that I think I've learned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you're right. It is a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but mm-hmm. all housed in this mystery.
And I love that because, like I said, it's such a realistic role. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I first got tied in, you know, we were talking about Diarra going through a divorce because her husband asked for an open marriage. And it's like... Right. What? Niggas be having us fucked up. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like, I like to see the realness. Like I said, we always don't, you're struggling and going through it, but relationship-wise, mm-hmm. like, it's not always like a hard down, we down bad struggling. Like, yeah, we go through relationship drama too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So talk about the process of writing this show and mm-hmm. getting it picked up and all that process. Plus.
So it was actually probably the easiest process that I've had.
Really?
In development. Mm-hmm. Yes. I ran into Kenya Barris at Where All Black People Meet in Hollywood at the NAACP Theater Awards the NAACP Awards.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I read your pilot, a pilot I had written for FX that didn't go. So we connected then. And then I ran into him again, like at Sundance or something. And mm-hmm. he's like, we got to work on something. So it was like one of those things where I kept seeing him. And then finally he was like, I'm moving over to BET Studios. I'm bringing some writers with me to develop stuff for them. And I was like, yes, of course. I had just had a baby not that long ago and was trying to figure out what my next move was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really kind of easy yes. And then this pilot was the first thing that I developed. And we were going to take it out to pitch it all over Netflix, mm-hmm. all these places. Mm-hmm. And BET Plus was like, if you do it here, we'll give you a script to series deal. Which means, like, if we like the script, we'll make the show.
Oh, wow.
Instead of, like, going through the whole pilot process.
Yeah.
So that was really attractive to me, and I said yes to that. And then we got they liked the script, and we made the show. It was pretty quick.
Was the process fast, too?
For television development. Which
that's what I was going to say.
People call it development hell, where you could be in developing a show for years and years and years. It actually was probably... It's 2 years now from when I first went to BET Studios.
That's like a short period of time.
That
that's
is
inspiring too, because we actually want to get into the TV space, and
we
have an idea for a sitcom that we've wanting to start for like a few years now.
I love it, yeah. And you guys want to star in it?
Hell yeah!
I like
shit
this.
To say. I'm gonna get these jokes off.
Okay, well, we should talk afterwards.
Bro, we gonna chat it up. Yeah. You my girl now.
Yeah, I like
to figure
that.
Out though if I want to start in it or not, or if I just want to write it and be behind the scenes and produce it, because I just feel like, you know, I don't know if I want to play me.
I think you should.
I mean, obviously I could be me, but you know, I feel like...
Who we going to get to play you?
Exactly. Who's going to be a better you than you, though?
That's true.
I feel like when you get somebody else to play you, it's because, like, you have done everything. You want to sit back and watch.
And watch it.
Yeah, like, you still...
You feel like I should play myself.
Yes. Yeah. And my motto is like, get as many checks as you can.
Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're going to be that involved and you're going to be... Get another check.
Just go ahead and
get
on the
action. You're going to be on set every day, watching, mm-hmm. making sure everything's perfect. You may as well be getting another check.
That's true. You're making a good point.
Points
was made. So I really want to ask you, too, like, you have some legendary people starring on your show.
Yeah.
Morris Chestnut, Felicia Rashad. Like, how is it working with people that are so, you know, legendary in the acting world?
Morris is hard to work with.
Really?
See, that's what I wanted to ask.
He's really unattractive. So sometimes, no, seriously, sometimes I'm looking at him like, wow, what happened? I ask, can y'all pay me more for this? I'm looking at him. The day I had to kiss him, I was like,
how can I do this?
See, I would have showed up work on time.
You mentioned like how Hollywood normally has black people doing struggle stories. That day I was like, I may as well be in a slavery movie. This is very hard. No. Morris.
Oh, are you playing?
Sorry.
Clearly.
Everybody knows I'm playing. Morris is a dream to work with. Very easy on the eyes, and just easy on me, period. Mm, like, he's just a sweet guy. So it was one of those moments that felt really surreal. Like, oh shit, he was on my wall.
Yeah, literally.
When I was a kid, and now he's sitting right here being cool as hell on top of all of it. Because I definitely expected, this business is hard, you know? And so when you hear stories about people being complete weirdos or being all these different things, sometimes I understand it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you've been through a lot, whatever it takes, you know? But he's just one of those ones that's really well-adjusted. Very cool. And the same for Miss Felicia Rashad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same thing. I was like, queen, like, right. Welcome. Yeah. Can I get you something? You know, and right. She was like, Tiara. Like, she was so cool.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
And I start, sometimes I feel like the shorter the resume, the bigger the diva.
Mm.
It feels like Ooh. The people who have been in this business and have put in work, they and are great at what they do and put the craft and stuff yep. first. They've been, in my experience, mm-hmm. very gracious.
Yes.
Wonderful to work with. And then just kind of like booing me and like mm-hmm. showing me mm-hmm. so much love. So
working with the legends, were you intimidated though? Like, cause I know sometimes when people come on show, I'll be like, oh my God, I'm finna like,
yeah.
And it's like nerve wracking. So how did you feel like on the first day working with him and her?
To be honest, I'm less intimidated when we're working. Mm-hmm. Like if we're just chatting, sometimes I can clamp up, not really with either of them though, just because they were so cool.
Yeah.
But that's my thing is like, sometimes it takes me a while as a human mm-hmm. to open up. I can be like really like defensive and closed up. Uh-huh. Just, I don't know. Maybe that's the Detroit. but when I'm working with somebody, I'm like, we're all coming to work and I'm prepared and you're prepared and let's go. So it wasn't that I wasn't like cripplingly intimidated, but that first day, I think Morris came in on the second day of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was definitely like, is he going to be weird? Is he going to be difficult? Like, you know, and even if he was, I would have been like, you aren't that black man. You've been in this business for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But he just came right in. We rehearsed that first scene. Oh, you haven't seen this episode yet.
Yeah, because I've only seen the first episode.
Episode two, we get into an argument in the hallway at the school.
Uh-huh.
And we dropped right in. We came into the rehearsal and Chioke, the director, was like, damn.
Like, y'all had that chemistry.
Yeah. He was like, y'all seem married.
And yeah.
And from then on, we were just off the race.
See, so, me? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, like, so what was the process of getting them, like, of, I guess, them being casted on the show? Because obviously, I assume they probably didn't have to audition.
Or, can you imagine?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, what was the process of that? Were you like, oh, I think these two people would be good in these roles?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah, for sure. I mean, so the show starts off, my character is going to start becoming an amateur detective, mm-hmm. right? Which is kind of a crazy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we really wanted to start her off in a place that was like really, she was really grieving her marriage, really bereft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it really needed to seem like the sun stopped shining in the sky. Like the end of her marriage needed to feel like the lights went out on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know we needed somebody who felt like a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And Robbie Reed, who is our, you know, a gifted, legendary casting director herself, was like really up to the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
She gave us a list and we were like, Morris Chestnut, please, God.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting for him to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back and said, Morris wants to do a Zoom. He really liked the script. So it was, we sat down. This is so him. He just wanted to make sure that, because his character does have a very big secret
mm-hmm.
that I wish we could talk about on this show.
Right.
Because I'll have to come back.
You're going to have to come back.
Yeah, you definitely got to come back because we're going to finish it.
Yeah, yes. Even if I'm not here, y'all have to talk about
yes,
this.
Yes, okay. We definitely are.
But he's holding back a secret on the show and he really wanted to know what it was because he hadn't read the whole show. So
okay.
He wanted to know what it was. He mm-hmm. wanted to make sure it wasn't something that was like violent or crazy, like you know, he wanted to know. So we talked about that and then he was like, I'm in.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that. And like I said, the scene that I saw was when y'all were at dinner, kind of laughing, like you were mm-hmm. reminiscing
yeah.
about the good times. I was like, oh shit, there's chemistry there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what I want to talk about too, because you know, you hear a lot of stories about people, and obviously, you know, he's married, so I'm not talking about him.
Yeah, we're both happily married.
Yeah. Oh, you're married?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I know that's right. Yeah, so, okay, so that makes it even better for me to ask this question because, you know, you hear a lot of stories about people falling in love on set or sleeping with their co-stars because you spend a lot of time with them. Y'all are kissing, y'all are having sex scenes and this and that.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate that space being married and, you know, in this world?
Well, my husband is one of the producers on the show.
Oh,
so he right was up. There. I mean, he was never behind the monitor.
I'm just like,
he was never behind the monitor when you're hysterical.
Go home.
My husband was at the monitor cock blocking. He's gonna hate this so much. No, you know what? It really, I know people keep saying that, like, besides the fact that my 16-year-old self was definitely like, damn, DR, that's cool. You just get some shit.
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, I'm so happily married. I'm sure. And also, you know, getting to know him behind the scenes, he is so boring. Like, in terms of, like, he'll tell you himself, though. He doesn't go out. He doesn't drink. You know, his wife, I was like, what's his beauty secret? She was like, he sleeps a lot. Like, he just be sleeping.
Oh, my goodness.
So he watches football and sleeps. And that's I think, the key to why he's so cool, to be honest, and so normal, because he's not out in the streets in Hollywood getting involved in a bunch of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, just knowing that about him, it was easy to, like, keep it professional.
Yeah,
you know, keep
okay.
that there. You know, I like to go home and, like, cause trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're like a compatible pair. Right. You know, on screen it
was fun. On screen that it works. So I'll be like, I just watched the Mia Culpa movie with Kelly Rowland and Trevante.
Yeah.
And they had a really intense sex scene on there.
Well, that was
very
Ooh, that was very intense.
I would have said, you know what? They would have had to call HR on me that day. Hey. They would have had to call HR on my ass.
Here's the thing. They have intimacy coordinators, which actually is kind of a blow. I have to be honest. You have an intimacy coordinator, and to be fair, it's important because people have abused these kinds of situations, as you just said you would.
And
so, you know, they want to protect all the actors.
Oh, you
involved.
Can't protect them niggas from me.
So, but that's what the intimacy coordinator would do.
Okay.
So they would come in, they ask the director, how do you want to shoot this scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would go to your co-star and say, how do you feel about that? You know,
right.
Lex wants to grab all up on your ass. What is your take on that? And if he says to the intimacy coordinator, I don't want her grabbing my ass, then you can't do it.
I'm like this. I'm just playing. But that makes sense, though. All jokes aside, because I know how things, especially, can get a little weird, you know,
for
people, you know, on set. So being that, to me, I thought this was a big deal. This is one of the first things I noticed. Like, I know that you're writing in this, you know, producing in it and starring in it. Was it hard to convince them to use your real name? Because that's a big thing to me, because I know a lot of times people get typecast.
Yeah.
Like, think about Carlton. A lot of people don't know his real name. We just know him as Carlton.
Alfonso.
Yes.
Roberto.
Yes.
Is it Roberto?
I think so.
Ribeiro. You know what I'm saying?
I was close.
Roberto. Like, it was close.
I was like, it's Alfonso.
Because that's what I'm saying. Most people would have said Banks.
Not Alfonso Banks.
I'm saying, though.
But to
me, that's a very big deal, because a lot of times, you know, this is the world being introduced to you.
Yeah.
So they get to know your real name. Yeah. So talk about that process of using your real name in
that
the series.
That part is scary.
Yeah.
And I keep being like, am I going to regret this? Well, one good thing is, like we were talking about earlier, maybe people will learn to pronounce my name.
Right.
Which is good, because I've been, you know, Daria, Diarrhea, Diara, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that people will know Diara.
Right.
Yeah, it could be, like I said, I might live to regret it, but I also feel like I'm not too worried about being typecast because I write. And I feel like I can always write something different.
Right.
So we'll see how it goes. Because I know Issa was like, I fully regret that shit. So
she did say that.
She did say that. Yeah.
I I'm a big Issa fan. I never knew that she regretted using her real name. Because I thought it was, I think it's good to introduce the world as, because it seems like, I don't know you personally, but that makes me feel like, oh, this is maybe her in real life. And I feel like I know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels real.
Right. I think that's why people do it. Because that's what happened. Like, I had written so many pilots and not used my real name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I just need to use my real name as the character, because it seems like it works.
Right.
All the way from I Love Lucy in 1950, whatever, you know, down the line. So I was like, let me just try it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know if it was going to stick. Mm-hmm. The title DR from Detroit was kind of a working title. And then we never came up with anything better.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was wondering too. I was like, damn, like, you know, because Detroit, they have an accent to me.
Yeah, we have an accent.
Yeah. And that's why I was
like, y'all sound like like kind of similar to California people.
What? That's so weird. So I Dominique, always say that. Yeah. Dominique, who's in the show, who's also from Houston, mm-hmm. she literally said that to me today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think so? I don't hear that. I feel like we sound country. I feel like we have a country. Really? Yeah, I feel like because everybody from Detroit's grandmother.
What up, though?
What up, though? Everybody's grandmother is from the South.
Yeah.
But I feel like we are just, you know, Southern people up north, to be honest. And then, yeah. And then, like, when I went to school in New York and I would be in a bodega ordering something, people would always be like, where are you from? Alabama?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you have, like, a thick Detroit accent either.
Well, it's not thick, but it's there. Because that's what I was wondering when I was watching the show. I was like, she's either from Detroit or she fucking studied the fuck out this yeah. role. Because I was like, I hear it. But it's very faint, but I definitely hear it.
Mm-hmm. I have an accent. It was definitely a lot stronger. I went through theater school, which was my one criticism of theater school. They try to beat your regional accent out of you.
Yeah.
They want you to be able to play whatever role. But I definitely had a stronger accent before I went to NYU.
Well, that's if you ever need a big mama country friend, I got you on the accent because I can't get rid of this motherfucker.
That's what I was going to say. That's always one of my main concerns with like wanting to get into accent. I feel like my accent is just so country. Like I have that Texas twang that I just cannot get rid of.
I think it's beautiful. I really believe that that's the wrong way to go about. Like the way they would come so hard for my regional accent when I went to school, I think it's wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes you special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yes, there are some a small number of roles where you have to have no accent as a black woman, but not that many.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think for the most part, it's better to keep your special sauce.
Yeah.
And we actually have, because to my ear, I feel like Detroiters sound like they're from the South. So we actually cast a lot of people from the South. I thought that was a closer accent than a lot of times we would get New York or New Jersey people.
Mm-hmm.
And we like John, who plays Danger, the guy who robs the house, he's from Atlanta.
Okay.
And Dom is from Houston.
BMF.
Yeah, he is. He's like the Detroit guy. And Bashir, too, who plays Moni's husband, is also in BMF. So we have crossover.
Okay.
I feel like Detroit right now, though, is like a little, they're doing their thing as far as like filmmaking and stuff. Like there's a lot of stuff being made there. So you live in Atlanta now, right?
Detroit got two B's on lock.
You say what?
Detroit got two B's on lock.
Man, what? Yes. You know,
all the Detroit movies are on Tubi.
What's our Tubi movie?
Wait. We did see Plug Love.
Plug Love. That is an Oscar award winning film.
Man, yes. Plug Love is my shit. I love that movie.
We actually had a scene in the show that was inspired by Plug Love.
Really?
But we didn't have time to shoot it. But you know where he's like fucking that girl and he's shooting at the same time?
Yeah. Romance.
I thought that was such a complicated choice.
It is.
That I was like, we have to use that. We have to steal. Sorry. So we were going to have a chase scene where they ran through the house and somebody was fucking and pulled a gun, but we didn't.
Oh my God.
We couldn't afford it.
Okay.
So we didn't do it.
When I tell you, I feel like I love the fact that I feel like black people were kind of like locked out of Hollywood for so long. Sure. And the fact that we are taking control and doing so much on our own. Mm-hmm. Like you see people now who are content creators, like DC just came out with his own movie. Like you see people now just producing and doing their own thing. So how important was that to you to be like, you know what, this is my first project introducing to the world and it has my name on it and I'm doing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was everything for me. I feel like I'm one of those people that just have a lot of trouble waiting for shit to happen.
Yeah.
I have a lot of trouble with that. It's just
I'm gonna go giddy.
Yeah. I'm like, I think I should start a movie. Well, nobody's saying you should. Well, I guess I gotta go write something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just my thing. I'm not gonna wait to be chosen and I'm not gonna wait for the cosign of Hollywood. Mm. I just feel like, hey, I have some ideas. Here they are. So that's my thing. And I think a lot of people are like that. If we sit around waiting for especially white approval or Hollywood to recognize your talent or beauty or whatever, you'll be waiting, you know, you'll be in that casket. Mm-hmm. And so for me, and that was a thing too, you know, my mother passed in 2019. There's nothing like that feeling of like, oh, right, we're mortal. Yeah. Like we're not going to be here forever. If you have something that you want to do, you need to do it now.
Create your legacy.
Yeah. So it just created a real sense of urgency in me to tell the stories that I felt like I wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So who is somebody like that gave you that cosign and you like, Yeah, I'm kind of cold with it. Like,
yeah, it's so important that people do that, because it could change your whole life. It could change your whole day. Mm-hmm. I think one was Viola Davis.
Ooh,
when I
love Viola Davis.
I am
upset.
Yeah,
she's probably
her biggest fan.
I am a Viola like, literally, I have watched everything. I don't How to Get Away with Murder. I know a word for word, bar for bar.
And she's amazing.
She's amazing. And her story. Yeah.
And her story.
Oh my
God. Her spirit and her intelligence.
Yes.
She's got it all. And I had done a play with her husband many years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then when I did my digital series that I made myself, I sent it to everybody that I knew.
Okay.
Including her and her husband. And they called me back right away. And they were like, we want to produce this. And so they took me, you know, we went back to ABC Digital at the time to get, to do the second season, to redo the first season, the second season. And so just like her co-sign was everything. She made a little video kind of explaining what it was and how she felt about me. And, you know, I wish I had it. I don't even know. They took it down off ABC Digital. Somebody has it. Send it to me. Because it really was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I'm.
You don't need, after that co-sign, you don't need nobody else to tell me I'm good, for real.
Yeah, and then another simple thing, I was writing on Last OG, the first season, and Jordan Peele, you know, created that show, and he was in the room, and one day after the room, he sent me an email that was just basically like, you're the shit, you're doing a great job, and I was just like, oh, I'm funny.
Yes.
Like,
I'm good.
So, well, you're hilarious.
You first and that's what I'm saying, when I tell you, I went in with zero, I just didn't know, you know, like I watched her, I was like, okay, this seems cool. Let me just tune in. Cause like Drea knows I sit at home and I watch shows and movies all day. Like I just indulge. I love it. I love the culture of cinema and TV shows.
And I'm the opposite. Like, I don't really watch a lot of TV. Like, I don't really watch a lot of series and
so
stuff.
So what do you do for entertainment?
Girl, I read a lot.
Oh, I love that.
Mm. I love
what are you reading?
What am I reading right now? I just finished reading this book called The Art of Not Being Liked, or The Courage to Not Be Disliked.
Oh, The Courage to Be Disliked. Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
It's a good book. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay. Well, she got a lot of courage. I'm just playing.
I'm a little tipsy, though. I couldn't get the title together, but yes, The Courage to Be Disliked. I just finished reading that book like maybe like a week ago.
That's a big one, especially for women, because I feel like they teach us pretty much from the time you're born, like, you have to be liked. That's an important quality. Like, dudes don't have to be liked.
No, they don't.
They have to be respected.
Powerful. Yeah. Yep.
Powerful, respected.
Come on now.
Yeah. Nobody says that to women. They're like, and so even the way our voices pitch up sometimes, like,
going back to what I was saying, I really like, because I can see where it's going, because at the end of the episode, like I said, they show her paying attention to detail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they show her putting this together about the little kids and why they were fighting. So I'm like, she about to put this shit together about why this man is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And that lets you know, like, she pays attention to detail, even with her job, how she pays attention to the students. And they're like, you don't got to do all that. But it's showing, I love character development.
Yep.
Like, I'd be like, okay, like, we're going to grow to be like, we understand her. Because at first you like, girl, why is you tripping? Go get you another nigga. Then you really learn. But you start to get to know her as the episode goes on. And you're like, she's a person. She wants good. She's trying. She sees the good in people.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she fell in love with this man who, like you said, you cast him to be the prize. Baby, I'm all in.
What you think about Shannon, who plays Chris?
So, we about to get into that with these topics.
We are.
Too.
Yeah.
Because I think.
What we drinking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, girl, because we 30 minutes in. My bad, Ty. What we drinking today?
Wait, what we drinking today?
We got shit to talk about, child.
We getting excited.
Uh-huh.
So this one is called The Dirty D.
Ooh.
Oh, I like this. So this one, that's why she all buzzed already. Okay, I got you. So this one has some Blanco tequila. We have some Campari, and then we have some grapefruit juice in there. That Campari and grapefruit go perfectly with that bitterness.
They do.
We have a little bit of lime juice, a little bit of simple syrup, and a splash of pineapple mango juice, okay? And then for Lex and Drea, very similar, minus the booze. They have the Campari, the grapefruit juice, a little bit of lime, and then we have it topped off with some sparkling rosé.
Mm.
And then the garnish is a grapefruit peel with a little bit of, I expressed it inside, just a little bit of that on the rim, and we have a grapefruit peel right inside.
She was like, I know you bitches.
I was like, what do you mean, minus the booze?
No. We drinking. We just got the champagne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you,
but I am about to take my shot, though.
Yeah, we definitely about to take a shot.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, XP.
And it's your girl, Dre Nicole.
And one thing I can say that I have elevated my life is therapy has helped me 1,000%. I've gone to BetterHelp.com. It's been about 2 years that me and Drea have been doing therapy. And if you've thought about doing therapy and you are unsure, this is your sign that you need to do it.
I agree. My thing is, who doesn't want to be happy? Like, if you're dealing with anything, whether it's grief, whether it's depression, whether you just feel alone and you're feeling lonely, like, therapy can help you with all of that. And one thing that I love about BetterHelp is that it's so easy to talk to your therapist anytime that you want to. And if you don't like the therapist that you get initially, you can always change therapists and get somebody else. It's super easy, super convenient. And on top of that, it's affordable.
Yes, you do all of this from the convenience of your own home. So what you're going to do is go to BetterHelp.com/poorminds. That's BetterHelp.com/poorminds. And with that code, you're going to get 10% off of your first month. So go to BetterHelp.com/poorminds today. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/poorminds today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poorminds.
Yes.
So that brings us to our first topic. We're going to talk about Chris, a.k.a. Ambien. Okay. I have a lot to say about him.
Oh, good.
Do
I want to hear about this.
I do. So I wanted to talk about signs that you're being too thirsty versus matching energy. Because I will say I was kind of mixed at first because I was like, okay, you need, like, DR needs to go on a fucking date. Like,
yeah.
Stop talking about your ex-husband. He don't want you no more. Because who was the guy that robbed you? I can't remember his name.
Danger.
Danger said something that made a point. I think it was Danger that said it. He was like, hey, if the nigga who you giving head to and don't miss you after
that
a day.
That's Bryant. That's Mr. T.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
So he said, if he ain't missing you after one day, somebody else giving him head. Yeah. And that's the truth.
Ooh, and when he said that, I was like, damn.
Points were made.
Yeah. That's real.
Points were made. So at this point, it's like, okay, he's making it clear that he's moved on. And we know how men are. Women, we grieve relationships very quickly. Men, it takes them about 3-4 months to realize that they miss you. So you have to just move on. So I think whenever she dived in with Chris, a.k.a. Ambien, she was just going too hard because it wasn't about really dating and getting to know somebody. It was about getting over her ex.
Right.
So.
Wait, I'm so sorry.
What?
Craig is over there. He been making this face like he is over there reminiscing. I guess niggas really cannot go one day without their best
they
eater.
They can't go one day without their best eater.
That's what I'm saying. Day.
So obviously he married Diara because she was a good eater.
She was a good eater.
That had to be one of the points. Not the only reason. But we know.
I'm not confirming, but I'm just letting you know what I'm person right now.
So yeah. I say all that to say signs that you're being too thirsty versus the energy matching. Because when we were watching the date, they had a grand old time. Because I liked how she was, like, y'all were joking. She was like, oh, I need to see your tax returns.
Right.
But he was giving that energy back. Yeah. It was a lot of playful banter. I said, oh, them draws is coming off tonight. Yeah. I already knew where it was going. So it's like the vibes were there. So when you were trying to explain it to your friends, because that's me on the first date.
Yeah.
I'm in love, bitch. I be trying to tell her I'm in love. They be like, you doing too much. I love him, bitch. We know each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm
like, you be down bad like about that dick just like DR.
It was.
On that show.
It was. Mm-hmm. See, that's why we got a difference. We got to make a difference. This is not you in real life.
I know.
About the character.
Yeah, we are. That's why I said on the show.
But that is a quality of mine that I feel like I put on the character.
Okay.
Which is that I do have a big heart. I do fall in love really easily. Now, I've been married to my husband for a long time.
Okay, how long y'all been married?
It'll be 9 years next month.
I know that's right.
And 19 altogether.
Ooh,
that's amazing.
That's how I know you a good woman.
He's also hung in there. You know, I've been through many a growing season.
Right.
I've spent many coins on therapy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I do fall in love easily. Or even like, have you ever just been like, on the subway or something, and you're like, I'm in love with that person across from me on the subway. Like, I can fall in love. Yeah, I can fall in love and have a whole love affair in my head.
I'm a...
What's your sign?
And then get off the train.
I always have to ask people that.
I'm a Virgo. Woo.
Really? Woo.
When's your birthday?
September 19th.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's yours?
August
28th. Oh, I'm August 17th. So I'll be on the... I'm a Leo.
Oh, you're such a Leo.
I'm a Leo. Yeah. But... What's Virgo for me? Isn't it my rising?
Your rising is Virgo?
I think your rising is Virgo.
See, I don't know nothing about the astrology stuff. That's my heart thing.
What are you?
I'm a Taurus sun. I'm a Libra rising and a Leo moon.
Ooh, that's
very
beautiful.
Complex.
Yeah. No, but I sort of feel all of that. My moon is in Taurus.
Okay. Ooh,
so that kind of like slow... quiet, luxury. Mm-hmm. I'm getting all that from mm-hmm. you. That kind of sophistication and ease. I'm getting all that. Mm.
Oh, thank you. She oozes that. On a regular.
But no, I just thought about it. Your moon is Pisces. That's why I feel like you be falling in love, though.
Yes.
Yeah, and that emotion.
You know what I do? A lot of times what I've realized about myself, and I'm so happy, I actually just realized this about myself. Like you were saying, you can sit across somebody and fall in love with them. I realize a lot of men in my life are not amazing. I made them amazing from a fantasy in my head. I will write out, if I like a nigga and we get off a date, I will have a whole fantasy of what I imagine them doing for me and what's happened.
Yeah.
It's a whole story. I had a whole movie in my head.
You can project anything on them.
Anything. And I'll be thinking that they're this person, and in reality, they're not. I made them special.
Yeah.
So once I lose that spark, I'm like, oh, you're really not that special. I made you special.
You're projecting your own specialness onto everybody else. And overvaluing potential.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
Yeah,
but that's why I said that be me being too thirsty.
Well, thirsty is such a harsh word.
It's the truth.
I'd say hungry. Hungry for love.
Okay.
Thirsty has such a negative connotation.
True.
Yeah, thirsty seem like you just gonna go for anything.
Right. But hunger is like, we all have a need for love. Well. And I think having the courage to pursue that need is a beautiful thing.
All right.
As long as you have your girlfriend that keeps you in check that says, okay, you're doing too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I feel like...
The DR, she don't listen to me, though.
And
You don't listen to her?
I'm going to fall in love, and I'm not going
to
stop.
Oh, no. You do have to listen.
She going
to
fall in love again and again.
But that's
and
why
again.
I feel like... Because love is beautiful. You're never going to stop me from loving.
So you have the J-Lo thing.
Yes. And she's a Leo.
But she's a Leo,
but here's the question.
I can't wait to make a movie about my man.
Do you feel like you're falling in love with the same kind of guy over and over again?
Oh, no.
But it's a variety of...
Yes, I don't have a type.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
Yes.
You think I have a type?
You fall in love with the same type of niggas all the time.
No, I don't think I do. Because you can honestly say, outside of my man now, the guy I dated last year...
was just like your man before him.
Right, my man before him. And
no,
Rapper Bae...
The one you dated last year was just like the one before him.
Was like Rapper Bae? You think they were alike?
If we're talking about characteristics, yes.
Man, hoe-ass niggas, you right. You wait that one little thing. Okay.
That's the thing. You can't just keep dating the same person in different people.
Expecting different results.
Well, I'll say this.
Yeah.
I think the last guy I dated, let me not say that whole ass niggas. I was joking.
She wouldn't. I'll say it.
I do not think he has characteristics of Rapper Bae. I really feel like he was a good guy. He just wasn't the guy for me.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's a bad guy. When I talk about the other one, narcissist, but I used to love a good narcissist.
Are you an empath?
Oh my God, I try to heal the world.
Me too.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I
you
get
gotta
from
have
it.
Water somewhere in your chart too, though, because I feel like usually
Scorpio. I'm Scorpio rising.
Okay, ooh. That's why. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I try to heal people. I'm always trying to like, I can work through this. I can work through that. I didn't have to do that with my last situation. Mm-hmm. I think he came healed, and I think we just didn't mesh. Like, his communication style didn't match mine. He wasn't a bad guy.
Right.
He's actually a great guy, just not the guy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that comes with age and learning. Like, I'm 34. Mm-hmm. Like,
babies. Y'all are babies.
I'm 30. Yeah, I'm 32.
Child, I am, like, I'm not dating just to be like, figuring shit out. Like, what are we doing? You know, so I had to change. I did change my type. I definitely did. And I've gotten a lot of good results from that. Like, my last situation, it didn't end like I wanted it to, but it was an amazing experience. And I learned a lot about myself, mm-hmm. you know, and I learned like, you know, I can't go all in head first. I really took my time with this relationship. I felt like it was him diving in. Sometimes the coochie be too wet.
Mm-hmm. It do. Mm-hmm. They be swimming That's, in it.
Yeah.
I couldn't help
it.
You can't disagree.
I don't disagree. I feel like my, with my husband, we had sex. He never left.
That's how it goes sometimes.
I've never.
Look at Todd.
She never.
I'm not being funny. Sometimes it hit him a little different. Mm-hmm. Craig, no, that's why he over there not.
Wait, which one is Craig?
Craig with the green pants.
With the green eyes.
Green pants, green eyes. Exactly.
See, and Craig, one of them ones you got to watch because he got them green eyes. He going to look at you, get you in a
trance. Stay
in
your soul.
Get you in a trance. I don't like no pretty eyed nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They trick you.
But now, what do you mean babies? Because I guess
I swear to God. Can I be honest right now?
All right. Sure.
I really thought she, I was like, oh, she I'm like 32, 33,
34.
We were just talking about this.
I gave 28.
I'll take it. You give it, I'll take it.
I would take 28 too, yeah.
I gave 28.
That's 20. My birth date, August 28th.
Okay, okay. I would have said 27, 20, even when I was watching the show, I was like, okay, she young.
Yeah.
She's going to be a little, you know.
Yes, I am young at heart. Yes,
that's all. But that's all that matters. So what are signs to y'all that somebody's being too thirsty? Like when a friend is talking to y'all about a date, since we're going to get back, we're getting off topic.
What is the sign that somebody being too thirsty?
I think.
If you keep like wanting to reach out to that nigga.
First.
Yeah. If
like,
you're.
Let him hit you up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. If you're going, I text him, I called him, nothing. If what you're throwing out is not coming back, it's too thirsty.
So we can't be mad at her friends for being like, you're doing too much. Because they were like, girl, he ghosted you.
They did say that. Yeah.
They kept telling her he ghosted. Because I'm not going to lie. My friend was telling me, oh my God, it was an amazing day. Y'all don't know I felt what I felt. And then you telling me that y'all had sex on the first night too?
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, you had sex with him too soon.
And that's the thing. I think that's the thing. I would debate this. Do not have sex.
I agree.
Too soon.
I agree.
I think it is a double standard. I mean, maybe some women have it figured out, but I think bringing someone, and maybe queer men might feel this way too. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But bringing somebody into your body is just a different vibe.
That's a lot.
And it can be harder to get over, and it can make your head more cloudy.
I 1000% agree. I agree. Always said that. I mean, like, I'm not gonna lie, like my first serious relationship, when I fell in love, we had sex on the first night, but we were also like, I think I was 18, 19.
Yeah.
We were young. Honestly, like I said, now I'm not doing that because I don't know you like that. I need to really get to know you. Because I truly believe in transferring energy. I do believe in that.
Yeah, sacred energy exchange.
Oh my gosh. I really do believe in that. So I was like, on the first night, you might be going, DR might be going crazy because you don't know who you really done slept with though.
You don't know him for real.
Because at first, before they revealed at the end that he really got kidnapped, I was like, he probably ghosted her for real.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what's going on? Like, he probably really did just be like, man, I got business to handle. I'm going to hit her up when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, until. And then we saw the text of her being like, oh, I miss you. He was like, oh, I miss you too. I was like, oh, he in love too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, you couldn't really be mad at her friends because they were trying to protect her.
Yeah. I mean, I think in real life, the friends are right on the money.
Yeah.
I think the show is a little bit of wish fulfillment because so many women, I feel like, get ghosted and are like, I do want to hunt this nigga down and find out what happened to him.
They'd
and
be so, like, what if he got kidnapped?
What if he, right, he didn't ghost me. He just got murdered.
Yeah.
You
know?
And you be so, hoping.
Like, maybe he's just underground in a bunker.
Oh,
B&B
and
raped. Yeah. So, like, I really did make that show because I would hear these stories from my girlfriends, like, and then he just ghosted. He just fell off the face of the earth or whatever. So I wanted to give people something to, like, imagine. But in life, if somebody's ghosting you, my public service announcement is to please let that shit go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Because they mean what they said or what they not saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when somebody wants to be around you, they're going to let that energy be known.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
They're not going to hide it, especially a man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are, whether we like to believe it or not, they are very expressive whenever they want you around. So I feel like her friends were not wrong. They were just going by the information that they were given.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have one instance. This is like an urban legend. Mm-hmm. But I do know one instance. I do have a friend who, her dude ghosted her. And now they, and she thugged it out. She forgave him. And now they're in a really beautiful relationship.
Mm. I mean, so why did he ghost her though? Did she ever find out?
Yeah, I think he was in between things.
That's how it be sometimes.
And wasn't being, you know, transparent about that, and then had to sort of
make a decision.
Make a choice.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair, because yeah. I'll say this. Everybody got somebody. And sometimes you might meet somebody while you got your somebody, and you, the grass, I always believe, I don't like the saying, oh, the grass is green on the other side. But sometimes you might meet somebody that just sweeps you off your feet. And sometimes maybe that person is not your person, but God is giving you a sign. You need to get away from this person because this is not your person.
Yeah.
I truly believe, like, going back to what we were talking about earlier, the guy I was dating last year was not my person, but he was to get me away. You couldn't pry that nigga out of my hands. But I had to meet somebody who was going to get me off of him, because God was like, I kept praying, like, God, give me a sign. He would give me a sign. I'd be like, oh, not that one.
Not that sign.
Because he didn't mean it. He still loved me, though. And he was like, let me just send her somebody, like, really amazing. But it's not going to work out. I just got to get you away from this person.
It's
going to
get your mind off of that person, yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes, you know, and I ghosted him, essentially.
Oh, you're a ghoster, too.
Oh, I'm a ghoster.
Oh, I'm a serial ghoster.
Really?
For sure.
That's so fucked up.
It is.
So wait, let me understand this. Because I missed the whole thing. Because I've been so booed up for so long.
Mm-hmm. I know that, bro.
So what? How come you can't just say, this isn't going to work for me?
If we went on like one or two dates, I have to tell you that. Like, I owe you to be like, oh, this not gonna work. I feel like it's fucked up when you ghost somebody that you've been dating for a long time that you seriously like have been with. I think that's fucked up. But like, if we went on one or two dates, like, I gotta text you and be like, this not gonna work. I could just not text you again.
Next you, okay, that's different to me. Mm-hmm. But when the other person is going, like, we had an amazing time,
right? Mm.
Because you had an amazing time.
Can we go back? Can we go out again? You'll just say nothing?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. And
but the thing is, though, I'm not going to lie. I feel like...
That has happened. I'm not going to sit here and act like it happened. For sure. Because I just was like, I mean, you...
You had fun because I'm lit. I'm amazing.
And I get it. I understand why
you
did.
Of course you had an amazing time. Look at me.
However, like, for me, it wasn't the same vibe.
What's the craziest reason why you ghosted somebody?
Ooh.
I've told this story before. I have two stories of why I ghosted somebody. I ghosted somebody because he was laughing too hard at me, at my jokes.
But you're funny.
No. I wasn't even saying
but
shit that was funny.
But I have a friend like that who just ghosted somebody for the exact same reason that he was laughing.
Because he was like, oh, where, at the time I worked at like European Waxer. He was like, where you work at? I was like, European Waxer. He was like, a European.
Nigga, what's funny about that? What? I was actually trying
this
to leave.
This wasn't a black person.
It was a nigga.
No.
But you know what? Come on now.
Like, why are you laughing?
I swear. This
that's
happened.
Not a,
I tell
not
this
thing.
Story all the time because I still be in shock.
That's not a thing.
And I was like, I can't do this. Every time I said anything, like I'm joking with the waiter, he'd be like, oh, she crazy. She got a podcast. She crazy. Like, it was the whole
okay,
night.
Okay, I understand that
the
one.
Whole night.
Okay,
and I ghosted somebody because he was a name dropper. Mm. Oh, shit, hell yeah. You know, I was DC Yo Fly last week. That my boy.
Yeah.
You know, like, weird shit like that. So I will definitely ghost people. Like, if you, because you're already showing me that you're a weirdo and you're doing too much.
Yeah, I will ghost. The probably the pettiest reason that I've ghosted somebody was for, like, grammar reasons.
Mm. Ooh, that's like, a good one.
I used to talk to this nigga and he would text me and be like, I am, but he would always put the I and am together. Mm-hmm. Like he was trying to make it like a thing. Like I know you know those are, no, it would be like, I am, no space.
Uh-huh.
Like, is that Yo Gotti? I am.
No, it was not. But like, it's like, are you trying to make this a thing? Because you know that it's two separate words. And I know autocorrect on the phone makes it two separate words. So you purposely backspacing.
That's
to
crazy.
To make this one word. Why are you doing this?
I see somebody on...
And he's saying, I want to.
W-O-N-T. I seen somebody yesterday spell daughter, D-O-D-D-E-R.
And I see, that's what I'm saying. That type of stuff, nigga, goodbye.
I'm not mad at that. I'm mad at the...
You
I'm
not?
No, I'm not mad at that. That just, to me, is a little creative. I'm mad at... it shows their it shows creativity. What I hate is the pronouncing of the L in salmon.
Okay.
I can't.
That's a little petty now.
I can't.
Would you ghost somebody for that, though?
It depends on. I need more context. But I would have. But at some point, I would have to say you can't say.
Yeah.
Salmon. I can't do that one. I don't know what other grammar thing. That's really the only grammar. That's really the only thing that I have is something about that L popping out. I can't do.
So what would be another reason, like just outside of grammar?
Like... Oh, for me, I like intelligence.
Yeah.
I do. We were talking about this before. When I was in college, I was dating a guy. And I said, my brother's a politician. And he said, what is that? Or what do you mean? And I said, what do you mean? And he was like, what is a politician? And I was like, I can't.
Now that's a little too far.
I was like, I can't.
What a politician
and he
is.
Was beautiful. Like one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen. So that I like intelligence. I like a sense of humor and I like kindness. If somebody is mean or rude, I can't.
That's a deal breaker for me, too. Like, I pay attention to, like, if I go to dinner with somebody, how they treat, like, the waiters and stuff.
Yeah, that is a
And
big,
if you're, like, too
breaker.
Rude, too abrasive, I don't like that.
I think a sense of humor is important.
I think a sense of humor is definitely extremely important. But like I said, it's lines. I laugh at certain things. I have a dark... very dark sense of humor. Like, it'd be a lot of times I'll, like, because my mom passed, like, 2 years ago, so it'd be a lot of times I'll crack a joke or two. Like, and people be in the comments like, Lex, don't do that. You're not healing yourself. Yes, I am.
Yeah, and P.S., to me, that's how you heal is to keep your sense of humor.
Yeah.
I was talking about that. Somebody was saying, oh, I'm grieving. You know, I'm not having sex. And I was like, are you crazy? Well, my mother was dying. My husband was fucking exhausted.
And when you know, my dad died, I was definitely fucked.
I think you want to feel alive and you want to celebrate the fact that you're still here and you want to get those endorphins going. I don't know why you would stop having sex or cracking jokes. Something sad is happening.
And my mom was hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Fucking for your mama is crazy.
Man, bust it open. Bust it open.
That sounds like a great song.
Bust it open for mama.
This is wild. Somebody call me if you have a beat. If you have a beat, call me.
Period.
I'd like to jump on that.
We ready to get in the stool ASAP.
Okay. So now it's time to get into the bed.
The bed.
Bow.
The bed. Bow. 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 Bow.
Bow.
Oh, yeah. We
not
done, so.
Oh, is that the beat?
That's the beat.
Yeah. Bow. 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 So the bed is our sex topic that we talk about.
Oh, great.
So I wanted to talk about because.
Trademark it.
In the show, Diarra could not sleep.
Right.
She could not sleep. She was talking about she would literally sleep for like 10 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. She was not resting, though. So she finally meets Chris. She goes on a date. They end up, you know, getting a little intimate. And she finally slept. The girl slept so good, she started calling him Ambien.
Yes.
That's his nickname, Ambien. You know how good some dick gotta be to, like, you give him a nickname like, put you back to sleep, girl. You know what I'm saying?
Put you to bed.
He put her to bed.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, is good sex really like Ambien?
Like, for me, it is.
Like, you go to sleep.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend that was like, I get really energized after sex, and I want to clean the house. And I was like, no. I'm like a dude. I'm like, feed me, and then I want to go to sleep.
I like to eat. I'm glad you said I love to have a little snack. Like, before I know me and my man, like, he got good snacks at his house. I go grab me a little bag, put it on the dresser.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he knows.
Oh, you
I
put
need.
It down before.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because he gonna go to sleep for sure.
Okay.
I need to grab my little snack, have me one, two, and I'm out.
Yeah.
So you don't go immediately to sleep?
No, I like to eat first. I'm sleepy.
Every time.
I like to, if I have a really good orgasm, I'm gonna eat and I'm gonna go to sleep.
Wow.
And that's why I said in the show it made sense, because whenever I have a really good orgasm, I'm gonna go to sleep.
Mm-mm. I go to sleep real quick. It'd be like,
damn.
That can happen too. It depends.
Bitch, I be out of there.
So I do have to ask though, like, okay, so her character, she's losing sleep and she ties into her being so set on finding Ambien because mm-hmm. she's like, oh, he got the best stroke in Detroit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this and that. So it's like, is it like she's trying to find Chris because she really likes him? Or is it because of the sex? Or is it something to distract her from her divorce?
Ooh, those are such good questions. I think that ultimately she's trying to distract herself from her divorce. The thing that we kept saying in the writer's room was like, it's easier to solve a cold case than deal with your feelings,
right,
than deal with your divorce.
Right.
So, it is kind of a big metaphor for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, two things can be true.
Yeah. Because I'm like, there's no way, like, don't get me wrong, we done all had some good sex before.
For sure.
Put us to sleep. But there is no way in hell I'm going on a true crime murder mystery. I'm like, damn, what kind of dick was that?
Yeah.
You know, because she is full. You got her. She went into the house, found a man in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even speak English. And she's mm-hmm. like, girl, we're still going to. Her friend like, bitch, is you crazy? You like, we're gonna
find
him.
And you was better
him.
Than me because I wouldn't even cut that nigga out the tape.
She
he
was trying to
just been laying there.
Right, right.
I'm crying because she really did cut that. She's trying to get to the bottom of this. She is trying to get to the bottom of it.
Once I seen a man in the closet, I'm out.
No, yeah. I wouldn't even see the man in the closet. Once I heard something beating on the closet, I'm out.
But haven't you ever, like you said, really tried to get to the bottom of something? Like,
that's
it's just
true.
Gonna kill
yeah.
you if you don't know what's going on.
When you went through that man DMs on Instagram, you got to the bottom of it, all right.
And when I ran through his house like the Tomb Raider with that gun.
You did.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You know.
That's a
story for another time.
That's why I said,
did you say gun?
Mm-hmm.
You got a permit?
No.
It was his.
Oh, he got a permit?
Don't put your
prints on that gun, please.
That's why I said we trying to develop our show about our lives, developing poor minds and forgetting
stories.
Yeah. Stories was had. But anyways, so y'all feel like sex after sleep, that gives you the sign that you done had some good sex, right?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Because in the show that Ambien, he went to sleep as well, right?
Yeah.
He was knocked out too.
Yeah.
See, I like that. See, he was in the vibes. And I like that they showed that it wasn't just one-sided. Because when you see the scenes with her friends, you think it's one-sided, but it's mm-hmm. really not.
Yeah.
It's really not.
And it happens. Dudes catch feelings fast, too.
And they be trying to hide it.
Yeah.
You know, they may not tell their friends that they're, like, knee-deep in, but they be in it.
They be feeling you on the first date. That's why I thought it was interesting what you said earlier. Because I feel like sometimes, as I get older, though, I definitely think it's a bad idea to have sex with somebody on the first date. But I feel like niggas definitely be falling in love with girls who be doing that, too.
They do.
It's just about, do you want to be in love as well? Mm-hmm. Do you want to go for that ride as well? And I think sometimes the chemicals and the hormones can mm-hmm. have you feeling things that you might not feel.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for you to detach
mm-hmm. yes.
if you need to, if you aren't sort of in a physical relationship.
That's true.
Yet.
That is very true.
Because the sex make it more difficult.
The sex does sure. make it difficult. There are people out there that can have sex and they be like, okay, I'm on my way. Not me. And I learned that about myself. Like, I was like, I cannot just give my body and just be like, whatever. Oh, this is cool. This is casual. I stopped having casual sex. I really want to say probably about 7 years ago? It's been about seven. I can't remember. I honestly can't remember the last time I had sex with somebody and didn't mean something mm-hmm. to me. You know, because I realized like this is not what you like. You're really not enjoying this. It's not like
you a lover.
I'm a lover, and it's a mental thing for me. Like I have to be in it. Oh Lord, this just drink hit, and I'm finna get miss my man. Okay. Yeah. All right, so now we're going to move on. Now it's time to get into
the bow.
Ow.
The bow.
Bow.
The bow. 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 Bow.
Let me just say, I'm having a ball. I'm having a ball with you because, you know what? I love girl talk.
Me too.
We're having a girl talk session. Like I said, like, everything about you has taken me for a surprise, and I love when people do that to me. Like, I'm about to be your number one fan. I'm about to be under all your pictures. Like, yes, sis. Hey, girl. You know what it is, though? Because I love creators that are all the way in. Mm-hmm. Like, you're more than what, you know, what people probably see. They're like, oh, she's pretty, and that's it. because I know how people get judged by how they look, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, to see you doing this stuff, this has been inspiring for me today. Like, this conversation has been really inspiring for the both of us. And I know it has for her too, because it's like, you really out here doing this.
Thank
like,
you.
That's really inspiring. So it's like, when we have conversations with, especially Black women in this industry that are really doing it, they're really connecting the mm-hmm. dots for themselves. Because that was a problem for us. We could not connect the dots.
I mean, it's first of all, it's hard.
It's hard to connect those dots. So you even, like you talking about how you met Kenya Barris and you kept that contact.
Like, as a Black woman, finding the right people.
And he connected these dots for you and doing that. Because when we first moved here, we didn't have no connections.
Right.
And then the people, the guys we were dating and the people we were meeting, they were more so on some shit like, y'all are meant to be seen and not heard. Nobody wants
like,
to hear.
Like, just be my girl.
Yeah, just be my girl. Like, okay. Just, you know, be like this and X, Y, Z. So we was like, I'm like, no, bitch. Like, we're funny. Like, we got to do this. Like, we have to, you know, so seeing women, you know, that are in this space and are flourishing is really inspiring to us. Because I know people look at us like, y'all doing it. But I'm looking at you like, damn, like,
you really doing it,
you know? So it's like, I love having girl talk and, like, seeing people on different levels and, you know, just seeing where everybody at, what people doing mm-hmm. and knowing that it's possible.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times people see or they want to do something, they feel like it's impossible.
Yeah.
And I tweeted that the other day. I said, whatever I want, I know I'm going to get it. Cause I'm going to.
Are you on your like Esther Hicks? Do you know her?
No, who's that?
Oh, yeah.
I call her my white grandma, but she's like one of those spiritual people that's on YouTube. You know, she always has like videos on YouTube, uh-huh. but that's her whole thing. It's just like, move from the place of already having what you want.
Yeah.
Believe that it's already going to happen or that it's already happening mm-hmm. now, even though you haven't seen it. And then the manifestation can't help but show up. Mm.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lex P.
And it's your girl, Dre and Nicole.
And y'all, we have been tuned in to DR from Detroit on BET+. It is so fire.
Mm-hmm. That's my show.
Yes. Tell us about it, girl.
Hey, what up, though? My name is DR. I play a divorcing school teacher who will stop at nothing to track down her rebound Tinder date. Check us out on BET+. The first 3 episodes drop on March 21st and then 1 every week after that.
Yes.
Period.
Tune in.
And then talk about it with your friends because you're going to want to.
Period.
So last Friday, you matched with Chris on Tinder.
Yes.
You went on a date.
This one says we're going to have a good time tonight.
Yes.
And you had intercourse.
Which I normally wouldn't have done, except we both agreed it was like a third date.
Can you write that down?
So after he ghosted you...
I did not get ghosted.
Uh-huh.
I think he was taken. And I'm not going nowhere until I get some motherfucking justice.
Ray, you sound like a crazy white woman.
I'm a concerned citizen.
Yeah, that's some shit a crazy white woman would say.
Ready or not, here I come.
My first clue.
Can't you run DNA on it?
I teach earth science. I'm not CSI.
Gonna find you.
Nobody touch any of the evidence without gloves.
Damn, this bitch done lost it.
And yo.
You were supposed to start dating as a way to face your divorce.
You can't run away.
I hadn't seen SWAT in months.
Was I really the only thing holding you together, D?
Damn.
Excuse me.
Yeah, would you mind your damn business?
God damn.
Gonna find you.
I am in search of a man with whom I had a beautiful connection.
And make you want me.
This is a bad plan.
If anything feels off, we'll go.
Off.
Murderer.
I got my switchblade, my taser, my brass knuckles.
Okay, John Wick, you stay here. If something pops off, I'll holler.
I walk around like that bitch.
This case is embarrassing me.
Have you lost your mind?
Dee, can we just keep it down a little bit,
oh,
please?
Oh, wow. You know what? Feel like an interpretive dance coming on.
Dee?
It's a lot of Alvin Ailey.
Will you please?
I can't control it.
Talking all that shit.
We just wanted to talk.
We can talk on the way. Hop in.
Oh, no.
We just get ourselves kidnapped.
What are you working for?
Get this bitch a root canal.
Who the fuck are you?
Diara.
Diara?
Diara!
Keep my name out your fucking mouth!
Somebody save the fucking fish!
I walk around like that bitch.
You don't want to do a lot, D. You should talk to my therapist.
Why would I go to a therapist who hasn't convinced you to stop robbing houses?
She want
to
get paid, don't she?
Mm. I'm telling you, manifestation is so real. Let me tell you what I used to do when I was younger, y'all. This is so crazy. But when I was younger, my friends, like, we used to pretend, they used to pretend like they were interviewing me. Mm-hmm. Like, I would be, like, acting like I was on the red carpet and doing, so it's so, like, when my friends from high school see that I'm doing this now, they're like, nobody is surprised. But little stuff like that be manifestations. I used to be in my room talking to myself.
Me too. Are you an only child?
No, I had a sister.
I am, and I definitely used to be talking to myself.
But yeah, my sister
used to come in my room like, girl, who are you talking to?
Yeah. Well, my sister is very, like, she was always, like, when I say the smart one, I mean, she was more like books in the books. Yeah. She wanted to go to school. I was like, I'm a star. Yeah. Like, that was me. So it's like the stuff that I wanted to do, she wasn't interested in. She's like, I want to read. I want to do this. I'm like, girl, let's go play. I'm the singer. You my audience. Let me perform for you.
Yeah.
She was like, girl, don't nobody want to watch this shit? Like, she always thought I was funny and was pushing me, but she was like, do this, but I don't want to have to, you know, be here and doing all that. So I say all that to say, I feel like all that stuff made me realize that was manifestation at a young age and I didn't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So now as an adult that I realize it, I'll be like, I'm going to get there. I don't know how it's going to happen or what, but I know it's coming. I just have to keep working.
Yeah. Keep working, release the timeline. That's the hard thing. Cause we want things to happen overnight. And that wasn't my journey.
Yep.
You know, sometimes it will be, but that wasn't mine. And then also, I always say just, like, keep working, keep making your own stuff, and let the industry find you. A lot of people spend so much focus on, like, how do I get in? How do I get in? It's like, let's say you're already in.
Mm-hmm.
Go make something.
Right.
You know, do your own podcast. Do your own thing. And let people find you.
Come to you. Yeah. Because I think that's one thing that we were talking about that this morning. Like, we just thank God that we stopped trying to fit into a box.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know what? I don't know how to show up as anybody else but myself.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm going to just create something where I could be me.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever come with it, come with it. But I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's why I said I'm having so much fun today. Because I like, you know, having girl talk with the girls.
It's one of my love languages.
Yes. Good for conversation. Real. Good conversation with some girls. Okay. So now we're going to get into the bop.
Yes.
So my bop of the week, this was actually inspired by y'all's date scene.
Okay.
Diara and Ambien's date scene, because this is a song called Conversation Pit by Junetober. It's such a good song because they're just like, it's a song about you vibing with somebody, like, you know, lay your head on me, let's just talk and just have a vibe and have a good time. So whenever y'all were having that scene, it just reminded me of this song. And I was like, you know what? This is a vibe. When y'all were on that date, I felt like I was on the date, because that's how my first dates be, because he was like, you know what? You want to have a good time? Hell yeah, I want to have a good time. What we finna do, daddy? I love a good daddy moment. You should have called him daddy real quick. Just slide that daddy in there.
I'm not a big daddy.
You don't call me a daddy?
I call my daddy daddy.
Oh, okay. See, you still got your daddy. I never knew my daddy, so I can call everybody daddy.
Yeah.
That don't mean nothing to me.
Yeah, my dad is still up and around, and I call him daddy. Like,
okay.
Because even my husband's like, why you call him daddy? I'm like, we all do.
I'm calling you daddy. That's the only daddy I think about.
I used to call my dad dad, for sure.
Oh, yeah, you
so
said dad.
That's why I be calling my nigga daddy.
She do. Oh, she be like, hey, big daddy.
I be adding the big in front. Hey, big daddy.
That's so Southern. I guess once I have my son, I will call my husband daddy just because.
He calling
like,
him daddy.
Hey, daddy. Yeah, but I'm
but
not
it's not
big.
Like.
I'm not
people be
big.
Calling their sons daddy. Now, that's a little
weird.
No. They be like, hey, little daddy.
Oh, hell no.
You ain't never seen. No. Y'all ain't never seen
Mom,
that.
Well, I don't have kids, but my sister, I cannot imagine my sister calling Peeny
little daddy.
That nigga ain't your shitty ass mouth.
Exactly.
What?
I call him
what
Bubba.
What are you doing?
Little daddy is crazy.
Little daddy.
So you're not a fan of daddy. I thought that was just like, Ty, do you be saying daddy? No, you got your daddy in your life, though.
We have a complicated relationship. So, yeah. If I'm calling you daddy, it's time for you to go.
If I'm calling you daddy, it's time for you to leave.
It's time for you to go.
I can't find you. That's hysterical.
I am weak. Okay, so now we're going to... Oh, wait. Y'all ain't gave me y'all ball.
Yeah, baby, you was ready to move on.
I was ready to move on. I'm having a ball. Girl, right. What you been jamming?
So my vibe. So I don't be liking how people be trying to play with Saweetie. Cause she got a new song.
Speak on it.
I like her new song. I do. Rich
I'm
Philly.
Giving rich shit.
It's a good
super fine. Bills paid. Doing fine.
I feel like it's a girl anthem. Like, I love songs, and I've talked about this on the show before. I love songs where you can, like, just be a girl and be in your house, getting ready, doing your makeup, doing your hair, getting ready to go out. You putting that shit on. You feel like a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's a bad bitch song. Like, it make you feel good.
It does.
And I love that song. Shout out to Sweetie.
And let me say this. I actually have
And she reposted my video.
She did. Ooh. Shout out to Sweetie. Come on the show, Sweetie.
Hey, girl. Come on the show.
This is what I hate. Speaking of dreams and aspirations and manifesting things, I tweeted this the other day. I said, I cannot stand seeing people telling somebody to stop doing something just because you don't like it. Because
exactly.
Who the fuck do you think
Imagine
you are?
Imagine that.
I am so tired of seeing people telling Sweetie to stop rapping. Mm-hmm. And who the fuck are you to tell somebody to stop chasing their dreams just because you don't feel good enough to chase your dreams or maybe your dreams fell through? Stop telling people, stop chasing their dreams.
And I also feel like sometimes that's a trap of Black excellence too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every time somebody Black does something, it has to be the greatest thing that's ever been done. When white people get to be mediocre all day.
Drea, how many times have I said this? I am not trying to be the podcast that you come in here and you learn about all the stars and the moon and science and how to cure cancer. Baby, we just want
to
laugh.
We be trying to have a good time.
P.S., I love that you just said that because people always say, oh, this is not curing cancer. Guess what? Nobody's cured cancer.
Nobody has cured
so
cancer.
So what does help when somebody has cancer are laughing, getting your mind off of things,
but
community.
But let me also tell you something, too. We went to Detroit.
You did.
Had the most amazing show ever. You know what? This guy sat front row and said, I just went through chemo, and poor minds got me through chemo.
God, I love y'all
so
much.
Oh, I just got chills.
But I'm saying, though, because you talk about, you know, we not contributing, but I do. We make people feel good, and that's what it's about. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, maybe you don't see the value in me, but that don't mean I'm valuable. Just because you're one person. Mm-hmm. You're one person. I'm like, there is so many podcasts about health, about mental health, about
serious,
religious, serious political shit. This ain't that. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch that, go. There's plenty of Black women who have podcasts about these things. Mm-hmm. You have to go find them and do your research.
But stop trying to mold us and make us into what you like. If you don't like this, go watch what you like.
Go watch what
you
like.
That's what I always say.
Do y'all get a lot of criticism?
Yeah, we do.
I think we
get more love than criticism.
Yeah, I feel like
sure,
people love you.
But people definitely be like, oh, y'all need to talk about more serious topics sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do. The crazy thing is sometimes we do actually talk about serious topics, but every episode, if that's what you're expecting, this isn't the
show
for you.
This ain't the show for you.
And that's okay. It's just not for you. Go find what you're looking for. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said even about, you know, Diara from Detroit, that's what I love is because, like, we feel like Black women, we have to be in these serious roles and doing all this. And it's like, this is fun. Yeah. You know, even with, what's her name, with Abbott Elementary.
Quinta.
Mm-hmm. Like, even with her. I remember Quinta when she worked at BuzzFeed.
Yeah, me too.
Because I was a fan of her. So it's just like, it's amazing to see somebody, like, we have fun too.
Yeah.
Like, we want to laugh too. Yeah. We're humans just like you.
People keep asking me, like, what do you want people to take away from this show? And I'm always like, I want them to be entertained. Mm-hmm. I want them to have something to talk about with their girlfriends at brunch. I want them to get on the phone and be like, did you see that? What do you think? Mm-hmm. This is like that time you was looking for that dude. Like, I want people to just have a good time.
Well, you did that because when she finished the episode, she called me back. She was like, girl. And I said, girl.
I did. I
so you definitely accomplished that because we was gossiping and talking about it for sure. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. I feel like a lot of people just get to be mediocre and be extremely fucking successful in their field because it's a crowd for that. For Why can't we just exist?
And can I add something to that too? I also hope you guys enjoyed the production values.
Oh.
Because we, you know, we spent a little more money than we normally spend at BET on television shows. And I think sometimes there's this unspoken thing that Black women just want to watch Black women and don't mind when the production values aren't.
It was not.
No, it was great.
It was not giving low budget at all.
At all. Thank
that's you. Why I said.
Yeah, it was giving big budget.
When I called, that's why I said, I'm like, who is this girl that's writing her own shit, got her name in the show, and like I didn't say that to her, but I'm thinking in my head the production value was amazing. Yeah, it looked like Steve Spielberg was on that motherfucker.
Well, and we wanted it to look beautiful. We wanted the black people to look beautiful. We just wanted it to be beautiful. And there were a lot of meetings that went into a lot of that stuff. So we just hope people enjoyed that aspect of it too. And it kind of feels like it's an old detective show.
It definitely was giving that.
As it goes on, you'll see different things that we do visually in a show too.
It wasn't giving low budget, I'll tell you that.
No, it was really good. And it's so crazy because the world is so small. I have a friend who actually works for BET and she's been working on the premiere party. Ooh. Her name is Elise.
Oh, yeah.
You know Elise? Yeah. Y'all know Elise?
Yeah. That's our girl.
That's my friend. That's my mother's name.
Yes, that's one of my really close friends. And she had been telling me about the show for like weeks. And then when we got the opportunity to like watch it first and then do the episode with you, I was like, that's crazy. The world is so small. Because she had been telling me about the show and how good it was. And so I got to watch it early.
Hi, Elise.
Yeah, okay, so what's your bop of the week? What you been jamming this week, music-wise?
You know what? I've been singing Texas Hold'em with my son. Texas Hold'em with my son.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
And Texas Hold'em.
Period.
And every time it gets to the cussing, I scream different lyrics. So he
don't know it?
Yeah. So I'll be like, come on, Woodson, take us to the flow now. So he thinks that's the real lyrics.
That's all he needs.
Yeah, but every time I call him, he sings it. He goes, chain, 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 chain.
I love that. That's I'm loving cute. This Beyonce era, Me too. The country true. Era. It's like, we get, because that's ours.
It's ours. That's the thing. This is really like a non thing. I'm like, I'm sorry. Have you heard of Aaron Neville? Like, I don't understand what's really new about this. It feels totally organic to her.
Right. And it's like, it's crazy because we actually talked about this a few weeks ago. But when she performed at the, what was it? The CMT Music Awards. I mean, they were in a frenzy.
Oh, when she did Daddy's.
Yeah, she did Daddy's Girl. Is it, yeah. Is it Daddy? What's the song? It's Daddy's Girl. Look, y'all, I'm a little tipsy. It's the Daddy's Girl song. But she was performing with Dixie Chicks. And you know they done banned the Dixie Chicks from that world because they was against Donald Trump. And you know they loved them some Donald Trump, child.
Right.
But I just feel like if y'all do y'all's history, we did country music first.
Yeah.
So it should not be a problem that, you know, we getting our roots back. So I love the fact that the girls, there's a lot of girls going viral right now on TikTok making country music. Mm-hmm. And we getting back to that. So shout out to our girl B, our Texas girl.
For sure. Because it's always been a big thing in Houston too. Like, baby, we gonna wear our cowboy boots.
And a black rodeo. And our
The rodeo is actually going on right now.
Yeah,
too.
And it's every year. Mm-hmm. And they were like, why is everybody going all in with rodeo? Baby, we've been doing this since we were in kindergarten.
We've been doing this our whole lives.
Literally like,
we used to have Go Western Day in school.
We used to,
where we were,
the like, church the would get a like church fans together and we would come to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I'm from a little town now.
Yeah, we used to have to come to Houston.
We used to have to get, we were getting them church vans with our cowboy hats. We would come to Houston for the rodeo.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was a holiday, ho ass nigga.
It was.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so now we're going to get into our favorite segment of the week. It is Pour Your Heart Out. If you want your question answered on the show, make sure you email us at askpourminds@gmail.com. If you are a member of Patreon, make sure you put that in the description box and you can skip the line. You know what I'm saying? Do you give a good advice?
I think so. People ask me for advice a lot.
Okay. We about to find out, Chad.
We gonna get into it. Okay, question number one. I'll get to the point. I grew up really insecure and not grown into my looks. Mm-hmm. And now that I am 22, I give bad bitch and get a lot of attention from men on Instagram. I don't know how to really deal with this new attention. I've always been the type to talk only to one man at a time. And I've always regretted this. But now that I'm single, I want to get into talking and dating with multiple people so I can finally weigh my options and not settle and tie myself down. I just want to be there for a good time and not a long time and enjoy the pretty privilege. How can I get into this without feeling like or being looked at as a hoe? Because men try to court me and even fly me out, but I always freeze at the thought. But I want to grow into a pro like y'all. LOL. Thank y'all.
A pro?
A pro what?
A pro hoe?
I got a man.
Exactly. I got a man now.
I got a man at home. Okay. I don't know what y'all be talking about.
I don't know what y'all... Okay, let me tell y'all something. Now, in my 20s, was I young, wild, and free? Yes. Okay. But I'll say this. Outside of that, that don't matter. Like, yes, we are in relationships now. But I will say, don't do something... Okay, do it because you want to, first of all. can't nobody make you do anything that you don't want to do. So I think have fun. Because I think my goal was, though, even when I was young and dating a lot of people and going around and having fun, I was always looking for the long goal. I didn't know when I was going to meet my husband. That's the beautiful thing about life. I don't know. I don't know if I've even met my husband yet.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you date with pure intentions, that's when you have the most fun. When I started dating, kind of being like trying to get something out of a nigga and started moving like that, that's when it kind of didn't become fun to me anymore. When I was dating and I was like having fun and just enjoying people's company and just having a ball, that's when I had the most fun. So I feel like if your intentions are pure with dating, you're going to have a good time regardless.
And I just feel like it's easy to have fun and not be considered a hoe. Like, I feel like when I was in my 20s, I definitely used to date. Like, I would date multiple people at one time. Like, you want to go on a date this week? This nigga want to go on a date next week? I'm going. Don't that fuck mean, all them niggas.
That doesn't mean you're having sex with all
it
of them.
It doesn't mean that you're having sex with a nigga just because you went on a date with him. I'm going to explore my options, but I'm not giving all you niggas no coochie. Like, excuse me? Yeah. Absolutely not. That's how you have fun and not get considered a hoe.
Big.
Don't give every nigga some pussy. It's really that simple.
Mm-hmm. Cause you, how old were you when you got married? Were you young?
No, I was 30.
Okay, but y'all were together for a while. Yeah. So did you have like that phase of like dating around and?
Not really. I mean, my phase of dating around was very brief.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that's what I'll say. I didn't sleep with all of like, you don't have to fuck them. I think that's when, what did she say about I shudder? Did she say something about I shudder?
She said, I always freeze at the thought, but I want to grow into a pro.
See, like, that feels like if you're freezing at the thought, then your body is doing something very intelligent, which is telling you to stop, to slow down. And I don't know why you would want to try to override that.
That ain't your, that may not be your lane.
That's not your, that's not who you are. You can't handle it. You don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just date. If you like somebody and you feel like there'll be a good time, have sex when you feel, when you really feel like that's something that you want to do and you feel prepared to do that.
Agreed.
But there's no, like, I just want to have sex with a bunch of people. I just want to go out with a bunch of people. That's a recipe for disaster, actually.
Exactly. I agree.
And
I
why are you forcing yourself to do that? Because of what you see on social media.
That's what I was about to say. I think when I was in my 20s, Instagram wasn't like it is now. I wasn't seeing everybody, what everybody else was doing. So I was just doing what made me happy. So she's young. She said she was, what, 23, 22. So obviously she's seeing things. She's seeing these girls outside. They get in Chanel bag. I didn't even know what a Chanel bag was. I didn't get my first Chanel till I was, what, 32?
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because girls are literally 21, be like, oh, give me my Chanel. Give me my Chanel. So I'm not saying that that's what she's talking about because that's not what she said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think a lot of times social media makes people think, oh, if you outside and you being with these men and doing that, you're going to, that's how you get the shoes, the bags, that X, Y, Z. Girl, what makes you happy?
Yeah.
That's what you need to ask yourself. What makes you happy? Because when I was young and dating around, I was enjoying, you know, feeling love or what I thought was love at the time. It was fulfilling me. It was exciting. I loved that fresh feeling of a new relationship. You know, I was enjoying myself. So do what makes you happy. Don't be trying to do it because, like you said, if your body is freezing up, your body is telling you something. Bitch, I don't like this shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
And the body is so intelligent.
It
sometimes if your body feels a certain way around somebody and you can't explain it,
it's gonna tell you.
That's all you need to know is your body is saying no.
It's going to tell you every time. Okay, question number two. Hey, Lex and Drea, my name is Sierra. I love you guys, been a supporter since day one. Okay, let's get to it. I'm going to try to keep it short. I'm 26 years old dealing with a man that's 39. He's 13 years older than me. We've been dealing with each other for almost 5 years. When we met, we clicked and been tight like glue ever since. Our sex is fire and our chemistry is beyond this world. The thing is, he is in a relationship. I'm a side piece.
Okay.
We tried to break things off multiple times, but somehow we keep coming back around to each other.
She did all of that talking to say,
you should have led with that.
So it should have started with, I'm a side piece.
Right.
But somehow we keep coming back around to each other. We've been through a lot, and to be honest, we both expressed our feelings and love for each other. I do want to end things, but it's hard to do when we've invested so much time, you know? But I guess I'm asking, what tips do y'all have to let someone go you feel you're attached to? P.S. I'm doing my own thing, so I'm not dealing with only him, but mainly because he really does make me happy.
Girl, ain't no tips. Like, just let that nigga go. Because he married. And if y'all been messing with each other for 5 years and he still haven't left the wife, he not gonna leave her. So yeah. I just feel like you need to just walk away from that situation. It's not gonna be easy because obviously you have feelings, but I would just go cold turkey. Like, not text him anymore, not talk to him anymore, yeah. unfollow him on social media because I don't even want to see what you got going on. But I definitely think for your own mental health and stuff, you should let that situation go because nothing good gonna come from me.
Yeah, I have a tip. You should go on his IG, find a picture of his wife, print that shit out, and put it in your house.
That's a good tip. Because that's gonna remind you, because that goes with my tip. He didn't pick you.
Put that shit on your wall when you wake up.
Yeah. It's been 5 years. He did not pick you. Every morning he's waking up next to his wife and choosing her. He may be fucking you and talking to you and expressing his feelings. Yeah. Those words don't mean nothing because his actions are saying it all because he's at home with his wife. Mm-hmm. He didn't pick you. He's not picking you. Every day he's choosing not to pick you. Yeah, that should be enough motivation for you. I think a lot of times you have to know your worth. We have to know our worth. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that is coming from somebody. I was in a situation with a guy and I didn't know that he was, you know, in a situation and I chose to keep dealing with that. Why? I look back on it and I'm like, damn. And I say this all the time. I went through that. So you ain't got to go through that because looking back, I'm like, I was so young and dumb and stupid. And it's like knowing what I know now, it's like, why? You gonna look back on yourself and be happy that you let it go because it's not going nowhere. It's not going nowhere. He's going to lie to you. Because imagine if he's doing this to his wife, what you think he going to do to you if you do get him? He going to do the same shit to you. Mm-hmm. We got to stop thinking that we're an anomaly in a situation with these men. If you see how he's treating another woman, 9 times out of 10, he's going to treat you that way. Your time is coming. Mm-hmm. Baby, your time is coming. The best thing I did was escape. Ooh, I done made it out. Mm. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm. Amen, sister. Amen.
So, yeah, that's my tip. Snap for me for that. I'd have been through it. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Amen.
Not everybody snapping.
Because, baby, we finna have Lex from Houston episode, bitch. It's getting too hot.
We can franchise.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, so, Diarra, talk about the show, where they can find it at, how they can follow you, all that good stuff, and other things you're working on, all that good stuff.
Oh, so you can find the show on BET Plus right now.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And you can find me on Instagram, Diarra Oni, at Diarra Oni, O-N-I. And what else? Oh, and right now I'm working on producing a movie.
Okay.
So hopefully that'll be coming to y'all sooner rather than later.
Well, I'm telling you, the people are going to tune into this show. So if the movie is just as good as the show, we coming out
in
the woodworks, baby. Mm-hmm. You always got a supporter here at the Poor Minds and the Poor Crew because I've had a time today.
Me too. This was really fun.
Yeah, so thank you for pulling up. Y'all make sure y'all follow my girl and y'all check out Diarra from Detroit on BET Plus. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Yeah, I'm doing mighty fine. Last time I see you, it's been a long time. Stop smiling at me. Get that look off your face. Please don't even front. Stop being so fake. I know you do not like me, and you made it very clear. Always talking about me from what I hear. Always put me down when you thought that you could. I want you to know that I'm doing so good. Wasn't it you that said that I was all that in you? Said I didn't have a clue. And wasn't it you that said that I wouldn't make it through? And wasn't it you that said that I didn't look too good? That I wouldn't do too good? I'd never make it out the hood. I want you to know that I'm doing so good. So good, so good, so good. I know you hate it, but I...
So good, so good, so good.
I'm doing so, 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 so good.
So good. So good.
It's hard to fake it, but I.
So good. So good.
Okay, we sound real good. This is what I'm headed to. Said we wouldn't make it. Now we're doing platinum, and now you can't take it.
All the round that have been negative. Look at us now.
See how we live. I said it with my people, and I wasn't keeping real. Didn't get caught up in how to make you feel. All the things I'm doing that you thought I never could. I want you to know that I'm doing so good. Wasn't it? That said, that I was all that in you.
said I didn't have a clue. Wasn't it you that said that I wouldn't make it through?
Y'all can sing.
Wasn't it you that said that I didn't look too good? Look at me, now I ain't got good. Now I made it out the hood. I want you to know that I'm doing so good.
So good, so good, so good.
I know you hate me.
Come on.
But I'm
so good, so good,
so good. It's hard to face it, but I'm
so good, so good, so
okay,
good.
Okay, this one, she broke it down. Y'all ready?
Doing so, 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 so.
I'm doing so, 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 so. I'm doing so, 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 so good, 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 good. I'm doing so, 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 so. I'm doing so, 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 so. I'm doing so, 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 so good, 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 good. Wait, time out. Beyonce said, now we're going platinum, and now you can't take it. Talk your shit, B.
Oh,
shout out
man.
To DR in the building. We'll see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.